Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here again on another awesome Sunday night. And this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. So I hope you've had an awesome week. We spent the last few weeks in Paul's second letter to Timothy. And even though every week I say this is going to be the last one, I then decide to do one other one. So we're going to do 2 Timothy again today. And I'm 99.9% sure this will be the last time. And next week we'll start something new. But tonight we're going to be in the very end of chapter 3 and the very beginning of chapter 4. And again, I'd like to say that if you have not heard any of the shows, or if you're tuning into this for the first time, if you go to www.giftofgraceministries.org, that's giftofgraceministries.org, you can download all the shows. You can listen to the shows going back to 2009. So it is a very, it has a complete set, you might say, of everything that is in the whole series that started at the beginning of 2009. So I've been doing this for quite a few years, and hopefully, God willing, it will go on for a while longer, at least. But the Gift of Grace site also has a lot of other stuff on it. It has a lot of Bible studies, audio versions of Bible studies, written versions of Bible studies. And the other website I have is oneinmessiah.website. That's oneinmessiah, all one word, .website. Website is the suffix or whatever it's called. So that has a lot of things on the other ministry that I have called One in Messiah, which meets Friday nights. If you're in the Cleveland area, you can join us at 709 Brook Park Road at about 6:15 p.m. It's every Friday, 709 Brook Park Road, 6:15 p.m. And that's also live streamed on Facebook and then goes on YouTube. And since I mentioned that, the YouTube channel is One in Messiah Gift of Grace Ministries. I know it's kind of awkward, but it's One in Messiah Gift of Grace Ministries. And you might want to check that out as well. And since I'm advertising, there are also podcasts, which you can find at Dr. Phil/Gift of Grace. That's Dr. Phil/Gift of Grace. So check all that stuff out and see what you think. But now back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. we left off last time with Paul telling Timothy that if you want to live a godly life and you want to follow Jesus, there's going to be problems. You're going to be persecuted. He doesn't say that you might be persecuted. He doesn't say that it's possible you might have a bad day once in a while. He doesn't say that, well, occasionally somebody may hurt your feelings. He says, if you're going to follow, you're going to be persecuted. And that is something to keep in mind as you go through your life of discipleship. And as I mentioned last week, from probably, I don't know, three quarters of the way through the 20th century until now, we've had easy Christianity, very easy Christianity. Good music on Sunday morning, which is awesome. I love the music on Sunday morning. But good music on Sunday morning, some kind of teaching, which now tends to be superficial and fluffy, and to make everybody feel good. And then we want everybody to leave happy. And that does not foster discipleship. But we're going to talk about that a lot more later. In fact, I will be part of a conference coming up on Sunday, November 13th. And that conference is entitled Called Out, Being the Body of Messiah. Called Out, Being the Body of Messiah. Actually, it's Mashiach, the Hebrew word. Well, you will know it as Messiah. And that is going to be all online. It's not live at any given place. There's two different worship music groups playing, one of which I know very well, the Voice of the Shepherd. And there's, I think, five speakers, maybe it's six. I'm honored to be one of them. And if you go to www.Besorah Institute, Besorah is B-E-S-O-R-A-H, it's the Hebrew word for good news. But if you go to besorahinstitute.org, you'll see a column that's called Conferences and Seminars. Click on that, and you should register online. Now, I say register, there is no charge for the course. There is no charge for the course. I promise you it's absolutely free. You don't put any credit card information in there. But it's a way to stay in touch with the Institute, to get information about the classes that are offered and other seminars and so forth. You don't have to register. You can go to Lamb Network TV. That's Lamb Network TV. And watch it all online without registering. But I would encourage you to register. Boy, that's the most advertising I've done in the history of this show. So Paul tells Timothy that things are going to be difficult. You have to expect to be despised. And he said to Timothy, you've seen some of this happen to me. Since you've been with me, since I've been teaching you, you've seen this happen to me. So you're not going to be surprised when it happens to you and the others. And then Paul adds that he doesn't count his life as important compared to the work that he has to do. You know, the kingdom of God is not about us. We are in the kingdom. But it doesn't hinge on what we do and what we say. We represent the kingdom, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's around verse 20, I think, maybe 19. We are ambassadors for Christ. We're ambassadors. We represent the kingdom. We are not the kingdom in ourselves, but we have the kingdom living in us, and we're part of the kingdom. And Paul points out to Timothy that the important work is to preach the kingdom, to preach the gospel. Now, preaching the gospel into a world that doesn't even know what the gospel is, as we've mentioned many times. And there's a time, this is a time where the gospel has to be preached as if it's the very beginning, like the first century. And the kingdom has to be proclaimed and people have to be brought into the kingdom. And this is what we're here for. Paul says he doesn't care about his own life because the work that he has to do is more important than his life. And so he points out to Timothy, this is the situation. And he says, it's going to get worse. He says, deceivers are going to grow worse and worse. The false teachers are going to get more and more aggressive. The culture is going to get more and more aggressive against Christ and the gospel. Not in favor of it, but against. And I don't have to tell you that's where we're living now. You turn on the television and watch the news for 15 minutes. You can't even believe what's going on. You listen to politicians speaking. You can't even believe the things that they are in favor of, espousing, and what's even worse, promoting, to not only be involved in the sin, but to promote the sin, which is the sin of scandal, where you promote a sin and tell everybody how wonderful it is. And that's what we're seeing now. And we're in the time of Isaiah chapter 5, as we said last week or the week before. This woe to you when you call evil good and good evil. And we can go through the rest of that chapter some other time, but that's kind of the basis of it. You substitute darkness for light. You know, you call the darkness light and you call the light darkness. You call evil things good and good things evil. That's the media, the entertainment industry, most politicians, especially on one side, that has deceived huge numbers of people. And religious leaders and whole denominations of Christians that have gone along with it, that are being taken down a false road. And it's up to us to be involved in this fight. And as I tell people, you know, it's not 1960 anymore. You can't expect people to have Christian values and to say, oh, yes, thank you for reminding me of that. You're going to face opposition, like Paul told him. And so then he goes into how should Timothy fight this? Which, of course, by extension, you can ask, how should we fight this? And he tells Timothy, continue in what you've learned. Continue in the scriptures. When you continue in the scriptures, you will be able to recognize counterfeits because you know what's in the foundation. You know what's in the truth. So as Hank Hanegraaff always says, when a counterfeit appears on the horizon, you know it immediately. And you don't fall for the false teachings, which are now sweeping through the church. And I mean sweeping through the church. And Paul talks about if you know the scripture, and we don't have time to look up all the references, but in Ephesians 4, and then the writer to the Hebrews also mentions a similar thought, which I think is in 13, might be 12, but I think it's 13. I don't have it in front of me. But it says, if you know the scripture, you won't be tossed around by the wind. You won't be tossed around to different ideas and different truths because you'll see the truth written down. And Paul tells Timothy, you've known this since childhood. You've studied the scripture since childhood. And again, I have to emphasize, what scripture did he have? The Old Testament, the Tanakh. The New Testament had not been written when this letter is written. So he's telling Timothy, you've learned the Old Testament, the Tanakh. You know, so many churches don't care about the Old Testament. So many pastors, teachers, preachers don't care about the Old Testament. But here Paul's telling Timothy, if you know the Old Testament, you can fight these wars. You can fight these wars. And he says, you've been studying this since you were a child. Because as we already talked about, we're not going to go over it again, the Holy Spirit breathes out the word. The Holy Spirit has breathed out his word, capital H, capital W, to human authors, to human writers, who under that inspiration have written the scripture. And that's not just the New Testament, it's the Old Testament, of course, as well. I know that may sound silly, but some people are confused about that. And he tells Timothy that because all scripture is inspired, literally breathed out, actually expired by the Holy Spirit and inspired by the human author, he writes that all scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So because you have that word, You can use it to understand doctrine, to reprove and correct people. Yes, you might hurt their feelings. And yes, your feelings might get hurt. But you have to be tough and you have to understand that you're standing on this rock and that your feelings may be hurt once in a while. Well, that doesn't matter because look what Paul went through. Look what all of the first century evangelists went through. And we worry about getting our feelings hurt. It's really kind of silly. And he tells Timothy that because you know this, and because you understand that the word was breathed out, just like creation was breathed out, just like Adam was brought to life, you have this foundation of truth that you can use to correct sin. You can use to point out sin. You can use to teach. You can use to preach. You can use to be complete for every good work. So if you know the word, if you know that truth, and you're doing good work, that's great, because that scripture will equip you for good work. And so he tells all this to Timothy, and he says, because you have this, you are equipped for every aspect of your Christian life. Every aspect of your Christian life. Not just on Sunday morning or Saturday morning when you attend a worship service, not just the 14 seconds that you spend praying during the course of a day, not just during the 5 minutes that you study scripture over the last month. It's all the time. It's all the time. Every aspect of Christian life, how you live your life, how you interact with others, how you perceive what's going on around you, and especially, and again, this is especially true in our time, how you perceive the spiritual warfare going on that's all around us. The spiritual warfare is all around us. And as the book of Revelation points out, when Satan knows that his time is short, he gets very aggressive. Well, right now, he's very, very aggressive all over the place. So his time must be short. And again, in 2 Peter, we don't have time to go into this, but Peter writes in his second letter that scoffers will come in the last day saying, oh, it's always been like this. It's never changed. Oh, everybody's been saying that. Well, it's true. It's always been like this, and people have always talked about it, but it's never been like it is now. The sins that are being promoted, the rebellion that's being promoted, has never been like it's been now, like it is now. And so Paul says, if you know that scripture, you're ready to fight the fight. We're equipped to fight the fight. And I would refer you to Ephesians chapter 6 for your homework. So when he shifts to chapter 4, and I say shifts, he of course didn't have chapters and verses. Those came much later. I heard a funny guy on the radio yesterday that was talking about Paul's letters. And he said, sometimes he feels like saying to Paul, brother, you need to use some commas. There was no punctuation then either. No periods, no commas. And if you read some of the complex Greek grammar that's translated into complex English grammar in your Bible, you sometimes have to read some of Paul's sentences several times, even with the commas, even with the periods, because he wrote in the most complex Greek grammar that existed at the time. So sometimes it's difficult, but again, like everything else, it has to be studied. There are people that study every statistic of a baseball player or basketball player, but won't spend 2 minutes trying to understand what Paul's talking about. And like Tony Evans points out, I love listening to Tony Evans, as I'm sure you all do, that people will spend 12 or 14 hours going to a football game and tailgating and eating and drinking beer and watching the game and socializing with their friends and driving home and talking about the game. And they'll spend 12 or 14 hours, but if you told them to go to church for an hour, they would say that was absolutely unreasonable. They don't have time for that. So when Paul tells Timothy to preach that word that he's learned since he was a child, he's charged to preach. The Greek that's used there means he's supposed to preach intensely and earnestly. It's absolutely necessary to do. It's not an option. In fact, Paul says Timothy will answer for it on the day of judgment. He's going to answer for it if he doesn't do it. So he tells him to preach the word, to proclaim that word. The Greek means proclaim the word. You don't just preach it quietly in the corner. You proclaim it. And that word is not your word. It's not your opinion. Not your word, not your opinion. And what's going on in our day is, well, that's what's there, but I'm sure that's not what it means. It may have meant that at one time, but certainly doesn't mean that now, because we've advanced and we've progressed. And all this cute, antiquated stuff that's written in the Bible can't still possibly apply to us, because now we are rewriting all those things. And Paul is telling Timothy, I think that's worth doing here. So let me just read the beginning. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all love, long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and will be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Whoa. So he says to Timothy, before God, I tell you, you have to preach this word. You have to proclaim this word. You can't change it. You can't corrupt it. At the day of judgment, you will be judged for this. So whenever there's an opportunity, whether there's a good opportunity, some opportunity, or maybe if there's no opportunity at all, you have to say the truth. You have to convince people of the truth. He says you have to reprove and rebuke. You have to warn people about what is evil and what the danger of the course that they are on is, and try to bring them to repentance. And he says you do this with long suffering, so you have to be patient. You can't get weary. You probably won't see the results right away. And I'm sure many of you who have witnessed to people over many years know what he's talking about. There's a lot of eye rolling. There's a lot of hostility. There's a lot of jokes made. You may not see the results for a long time. But you have to say the teaching. You have to preach that word soundly. You can't change it so that someone will like it better. And you can't just use passion and enthusiasm, because that time he mentions where people won't endure sound doctrine is now. They've turned away and they've accumulated false teachers that tell them what they want to hear. They want to be comfortable. They want to be happy. They don't want to think about serious things. And so what he described to Timothy is actually what we, who are here today, are experiencing. And like it says in the book of Esther, hey, we're here for such a time as this. This is what we're faced with. Well, I know the music's been playing, so I have to stop. But anyway, thanks for listening. Join us again next week on The Gift of Grace, where we'll read and teach God's Word and proclaim the kingdom and salvation to Jesus the Messiah. Have an awesome week.